Question was, are we ready to step up and say, Lord, I want to be someone that stand out for you. Not that you are competing with anybody else, because we, how many of you know we should not compete with one another? We should not compete with one another. And I think that's one of the lessons that the body of Christ have to learn, not to compete with one another, but we are to work together. We can get more done when we work together rather than competing against one another and fighting against one another. Hallelujah. But we can work together and we can stand out for God, because God wants all of us to stand out. Isn't it good to know that there's enough room in God's family for everybody to be number one? Amen. Hallelujah. But what we have to do is draw close to God, walk with Him, and He will reveal to us what His plan is for our lives and what He wants us to do. Amen. I may be preaching and speaking before a group of people, and you may be the bus driver, or you may be the one that's cleaned the church. That doesn't make me any better than you. You hear me? If we are both doing what God has anointed and gifted us to do, that's what pleases God. Amen. Did you hear me? Amen. That's the reason I tell you right now, and I'm going to move on, but I want to tell you this right now. Wherever you are right now, you are still valuable to God. And if you give yourself to Him, He will use you. Yeah, but I'm not like such and such. I'm not like such as I've heard it from people, you know. I wish I could teach like such and such. I wish I could pray like such and such. Or you might say, I've heard it say, oh man, from pastors, man, I wish I had as many people in my church as Pastor such and such have. Listen, you may have 10,000 or you may have 10. You preach to those 10 like you would if you was preaching to 10,000. Is there another amen out here somewhere? Amen. Are you listening to me? Because we're not competing. Of course, all pastors want to see people come into their church, including me. But I'm not competing with anybody. I want you to come here because God sent you here, because you want to hear the word of God. And I'm committed to giving you the word of God, the uncompromised word of God, nothing but the word of God. Amen. But I want to be the very best I can be at what God had given me. Hallelujah. As a ministry, we are into our 39th year. This coming June will be 39 years that we've been going as a ministry. Wow, time flies. But I want to tell you my preference was to pastor somewhere else. I never, some of you know this already. I never really wanted to pastor in Chiraw. I didn't want to pastor in Chesterfield County. Now, this is my home. I have nothing against my home. But when you're young, you still have some growing to do. You still have some maturing to do. But when you draw close to God, he'll help you, even if you're immature. He'll help you. He'll lead you. He'll guide you. I was, hear me. My plans was, you hear how I said that, right? My plans were to go to Winston-Salem, North Carolina, and pioneer a church in Winston-Salem. It had been prophesied to me. Someone came to me and said, Pastor, the Lord says Highway 52 North. Well, you know Highway 52 goes through Chiraw, north to south. And it was prophesied to me, Highway 52 North. Well, I thought, now hear how I'm saying this. I thought that God was telling me that you would be pastoring a church on 52 North. So me and my lovely wife and I decided, and our baby, Joshua, maybe he wasn't with us on the first. Yeah, he was. I believe he was. He was real young. So we decided, I told my wife, I said, we're going to drive north. And we drove as far as Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Got a pastor friend up there, called him up, told him, I says, I believe that the Lord wants me to start a church there in Winston-Salem. He had a church there in Winston-Salem. So he says, come on up. Come on up, spend the night. And I'll drive you around Winston-Salem and God will speak to you. See what God says to you. And we went. Joshua got sick. I don't know what was wrong with him, but he got sick. His ears, okay, he had ear issues. He got sick. But we still got to drive around. Just follow me. He took us all over Winston-Salem. Treated us like a king and a queen, just so nice and wonderful to us. And I'm riding over Winston-Salem. He's showing us different places, and I'm trying to hear from the Lord. Trying to hear from the Lord. Trying to hear from the Lord. The Lord wasn't saying nothing. And I'm thinking, here am I, Lord. I didn't say that out loud, but that's what I was thinking. Here am I, Lord, speaketh thou. The Lord wasn't saying nothing. Sometimes when you're not as mature as you need to be, you can get frustrated. Why is God not saying anything? I was told 52 North, and I remember I decided that's where God was calling me. That's what I thought when he said 52 North. It wasn't 52 North. God never said anything. I began to help another pastor in Dillon. We was driving down on the way to church. And God spoke. He said, go back to Chiraw. Go back to Chesterfield County. Go back to Chiraw. That's where I want you. Well, thank God I didn't say, get thee behind me. But here I am. To God be the glory. Now, the person that prophesied 52 North to me, the only thing I can tell you is not too long after that, we found a house on 52 North. And that's another whole testimony right there, because we were about to be out of a place to stay, but everybody say, but God.
But God.
Amen. Sister, you probably remember this. Some family members was coming back from Washington, D.C. Remember, you know what I'm talking about. They were coming back from, they were so sweet to us. And I think we stayed, what, 6 years? Well, how many years it was, they let us live in their home while they were away. But they were coming back, and so they gave us plenty of time. It wasn't last minute, they gave us plenty of time. Say, okay, we're moving back. And so we thanked them for letting us stay in their house. But here's the deal. We couldn't find a house for six people. We looked. Seemed like God was not speaking, but the devil was talking loud. He kept telling me, yeah, you preach faith, you preach and tell people they need to believe God, and God will come through for them. Now look at you. Now all your stuff is going to be sitting side the road. What you going to do now? What you going to do now, preacher? What you going to tell them now? And I had to fight with that. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Some of you have been there. I had to fight with that. But we still believe God. I don't even know why I'm telling this testimony. But we continue to believe God. Amen. We continue to believe God. My wife and our four children had to have somewhere to live. And some of the church members tried to help us out. Had a lady speak at my church. We were still downtown. And at the end of the service, she called me and she said, Pastor Redfern, the Lord said, I hadn't talked to her about anything. The Lord said, you're looking in the wrong place. And that's all she said. Sometimes it don't seem like God tell you enough. But he does. She said, the Lord said, you're looking in the wrong place. And I thought to myself, my dear Lord, I've looked all over. Chiron ain't but so big. I've looked everywhere I know to look. Gone to a realtor. Asked him about a place to rent. He said, we have nothing. Nothing available. Place came open downtown. My wife found out about it, called me, because I was at church praying. I was praying in English, I was praying in tongues. I was praying every way I knew to pray. Walking the aisles of that church, praying by myself, praying. The phone rang. My wife said, there's a place for rent not far from you. It was in walking distance. I says, okay, I'll check it out. I went over there, looked at the place, and the Spirit of God spoke on the inside of me and said, that ain't it. I knew on the inside. Wasn't audible, but I knew that's not it. And we were, how many days we had left? 3 days down. Nowhere to go. But when the Lord spoke to me and said, this is not it. But he said, go back to that realtor again and ask him. And I'm thinking with my sharp mind, the man told me he didn't have anything. Now, I'm not arguing with God. I'm just thinking within myself. The man told me he didn't have anything available. But I said, I'm going back again. I walked into his office. He had a little hallway, and he was, as I opened the door to walk into the office, down to 2 days, I walked into his office, and he's walking down the hall, and we were meeting one another. And he says, "Hey, preach, you just the person I want to see. Got a house. I want you to look at it. If you're interested, it's available." And I did not say, "Let me pray about it." As a matter of fact, I went by myself, just the two of us. I didn't even want to wait for my wife. Went by myself. He showed me the house. Guess where it was? Highway 52 North. And I look at the house, and it had to be big enough for six people, Kathy and I and four children. I'm thinking to myself, "Dear Lord, this is a nice house. I don't know if we can afford this house." And I asked him what the rent was. He told me. I thought, glory to God, praise God, that's good. And he said, "You want it?" I said, "Yes, sir, I sure do." We hadn't signed any paperwork or anything. He tossed me the keys. So there it is, you got it. I went home to mama. I was a happy man. Because I was living the word of God that I preached. And God came through. I don't know if this helped anybody else, but it helped me just to say it again. Glory be to God. I said, glory be to God. Things don't always work the way we think they're going to work. They don't always work out the way we think. That's the reason we walk by faith and not by sight. Anybody listening to me? That's the reason we walk by faith and not by sight. Glory to God. We was able to get moved into our house, turn the keys over to the owners, thank them, and just let them know how much we appreciate them letting us stay there. Praise God, because that's another whole testimony that I won't go into. But man, y'all just wouldn't believe. But we had to move to Chiral, and that was a struggle. But God got all involved in that. Let me tell you something. God will change things for you. I heard somebody say something similar to this, that God will have somebody to build a service station in the desert 20 years before you need it. Just because he know you coming. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. But we need to have a heart towards God. We need to have a heart towards God. We need to seek him. Amen. Yeah. Seek ye first. This sister over here preaching. That's good preaching. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Glory be to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ must not grow cold. Turn the thermostat up. Glory be to God. You know, sometimes you hear people say, well, you know, God just ain't working miracles like he used to. We're not seeing this, or we're not doing. Yes, he is. But let me say this. If you are not witnessing, you might want to take a look at you. Find out if you have cooled off. Have you cooled off? Have you cooled off? Have you become comfortable where you are in God, and you're not willing to make any sacrifices whatsoever to get closer to him? Glory to God. Can y'all hear me? I just lost my microphone. Glory to God. You folks that are watching us out there, I apologize. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. We bless the name of the Lord. We bless the name of the Lord. We bless the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All righty. We talked about Mary. We talked about Noah. I want to take a look at another person. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Isaiah, the 6th chapter. Isaiah chapter 6. I'm going to read a little bit of this, beginning at verse 1. It says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, with two he flew. One cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Now, let me say this to you. Look at me just a minute. We're going back. If you, and I'm talking to individuals, and this includes me as well, if you will cooperate with him, if you will draw near to him, this church will be filled with his glory. Fill with his glory. I'm going back to this, but Kathy you don't even have to come up here. They can put the camera on you. You can stand right there. You don't have to go into all the details. I want you to share with this congregation the concerning as a young girl seeing the glory of God, but not having the word of God. She didn't know what she was seeing. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I was 13. I was 13 years old at my home church. I had given my life to the Lord. I had gone to the mourner's bench. Some of you familiar with that? And going down trying to get saved then. It was religion. And so wanted to get saved, wanted Jesus in my heart. So that Friday night, I went up, sat in the chair, started praying and asking God to come into my heart. So as I prayed and asked God to come into my heart, I just lifted my head. And at the back door, like where my brother Edward is standing, as I lifted my head, I saw this big, huge ball of fog or smoke. It was just huge. It was real big. It was probably, oh my, it took up the whole aisle of the church. So it began to roll into the back of the church. And as I stood in the presence of the Lord, I'm thinking.
Now stop right there just a moment. Understand, she wasn't a Bible scholar, okay? All right, go ahead.
Not knowing what I saw, didn't even understand it, but I knew it was God. I knew it was God. So as this cloud began to come toward the front of the church, it kept coming closer and closer and closer. So as that cloud, it came closer, it began to just envelop me. It engulfed me. I couldn't see anything but just this cloud, like a cloud of smoke. And I'm thinking, what is this? So in the midst of that, the power of God just came all over me. And I felt the presence of God like I had never felt in my life, although I've been praying from the time I can remember to God. But I had never experienced that presence,
yeah,
of a cloud coming in and just overshadowing me. And when it did, when I was in the middle of the cloud, it just engulfed me. I began to jump up and thank the Lord and praise the Lord and worship the Lord and thank the Lord and just shout in his presence. Because
hallelujah.
I didn't know what it was, but I told my husband, now I know. It was the glory of God.
Yeah. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And let me tell you something. The Bible tells us that even the priest was not able to minister because of the glory. But I'm here to tell you, whether you see it like she did or not, God wants to fill this place with his glory. He wants to fill you with his glory. God wants to do such a work through us. That sinners, just being in your presence, will fall down and give their lives to Christ. Bodies being healed because of the presence of God. When the Bible tells us that folks was healed in Peter's shadow, that was not a joke. It happened.
Yes.
Listen to me. Because we are so close to the coming of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Let me finish reading this. Glory to God. Verse 3 again. And one cried to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door was shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. Hallelujah. So I said, woe is me. Now listen. Folks, we have to be honest with ourselves. We have to be honest with ourselves. And I said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. Talking about Isaiah. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. We have to recognize where we are and be willing to repent. Because the Bible says if we confess our sins, not pretend, but if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's part of drawing near to God. Look at verse 6. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin purged. Glory to God. He recognized where he was and the type of man he was. But he got set free. Look at verse 8. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Listen. The Lord is still looking for someone who will say, like Isaiah said. Then I said, Here am I, Lord. Do what?
Send me.
Here am I, Lord. Send me. A man of unclean lips, but yet God cleaned me up.
Amen.
And now, Lord, I'm ready to go for you. What was Isaiah saying? He was saying, I'm ready to be a standout. Nobody else may not go, but I'm ready to be a standout. You can send me, Lord. You can depend upon me, Lord. I'm not saying he's going to send you to Africa, Asia, or anywhere else. He may just send you next door. He may just send you to your prayer closet. But the eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout the earth to find those who will say, like Isaiah said, "Here am I, Lord, use me. Here am I, Lord, you can use me. I make myself available to you." There's somebody somewhere need to hear what I have to say. There's somebody somewhere that I can help. Maybe I have something they need that I can bless them to change their life. Just, Lord, I choose to be a standout for you. Not just so I can get a pat on the back, but so that I can bless you and bring glory and honor to your name. And mankind will be better because I made a decision that I'm going to obey you. I'm going to be a standout for you. Glory to God. Glory to God. Musicians, I want you to come back. I didn't get as far as I thought I was going to get. That's all right, too. But if you say, "Lord, I'm willing to be a standout for you. I want to give you an opportunity to come." You might want to stand around the altar, or you kneel if you want to, while these brothers play. And let it be just you and God. You and God. You and God. And you talk to the Lord. Hallelujah. Let him know, "Here am I, Lord. Use me for your glory." Thank you, Lord Jesus. You're welcome to come around the altar. I tell you what, the altar of the church don't get used to those. Not just here. Hallelujah.